Hebrews chapter 11 is where we'll be.
One more thing.
Yes, sir.
People get the opportunity, if they hear something about Legacy Quartet, sit down and listen.
Yeah. We'll have them come up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can just tell them to come up here. All right. Yeah. All right. Hebrews 11, everybody. This morning we're going to, man, it's been, I feel like we've already had church here. And that's a good thing. On our focus days this year, we're really looking at this idea of faith. And the verses we're going to read today are so important in regards to our faith. And we already, this is one of our verses already this year that we tried to memorize in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. But it's so important that we remember as believers, we walk by faith. Faith is a necessary element in our life. We cannot, as you'll see in the text, you cannot please God. You cannot be right with God if you don't have faith. By the way, you can't even be saved without faith. Without faith, you can't. And so this morning, there's an illustration of faith given in the person of Enoch. And so we're going to look at that. So if you're in Hebrews 5, or Hebrews 11 in verse 5, if you'll stand with me for the reading of the Bible here. We're just going to read two verses, and then I'll have you be seated. And I'm going to try to get right to the message this morning. I was telling Brother Mark, this is a hard one for me to work up because there's only three times in the Bible Enoch is mentioned. And it's almost as if they don't want us to know much about him. It really, there's just not a lot about him. And so I'll do my best today to share what the Lord laid on my heart regarding his faith. Verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. You know what that means? They went to find Enoch and they're like, where'd Enoch go? He was not, is what Genesis says. He wasn't there. Why? God took him to heaven without dying. He was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. There's his testimony. Well, what did he do? He pleased God. How did he do it? Well, verse 6 is connected. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Lord, we ask that you'd help this morning. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done thus far, even in our midst. Lord, we had a wonderful time in Sunday school, and then, Lord, just this morning in church so far, Lord, just hearing the testimonies of the men, so helpful, so moving. Lord, we thank you for what you did in that meeting. Lord, we're thankful that you want to meet with us today, and we pray that as we open the scriptures here, that you would just illuminate our hearts, or illuminate your word in our hearts. Lord, help us to understand what you want us to. As we take a character like Enoch, who there isn't a whole lot written about him, Lord, the things that are written about him must be very, very important. And so we pray that you'd help us now. Lord, help me as I preach. Lord, I need your words and wisdom. And Lord, I just desire that you would use me today. And well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. So Enoch's story is one that's very peculiar and honestly leaves me with a lot more questions than I have answers. I have a lot of questions. You know, people come to me and ask me questions about the Bible and doctrine and things, and there's a lot of things I have figured out. I mean, God's allowed the knowledge and ability to know things, but guess what? I have questions too. And a lot of the questions I have, or some of the questions I have to do with Enoch and what all was going on those years of his life. And so we don't know a whole lot about him, but what we do know, we know a few things. We know he lived before the flood. Jude tells us that he was the seventh from Adam. And the historical record given in Genesis tells us in those genealogies that he was the seventh born human, the seventh born son of Adam. And so we know that he lived before the flood, but we also know that he didn't die in the flood. His son, Methuselah, died in the flood. And so he lived in his time before the flood. And we know this miraculous thing about him. The scriptures tell us in Genesis that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And then it just goes on. It just goes on with the rest of the story. And so for me, I'm going, I want to know more about that. You know, what happened? How do we get that? I mean, how do we get that? I'd be okay with that if the Lord, which, by the way, if the Lord decides to come back in our lifetime, which I believe he will, I believe we're coming very close to that rapture of the church. I mean, we may be taken away just as Enoch was, but I think, well, why way back then? And so as I've studied Enoch and taught about him, preached about him in the past, Enoch has always been a really good picture for me of that pre-tribulation rapture, and he still is in so many ways. He lived in the time before the flood. According to the scripture says, in the end days, it'll be like what time? The time before the flood. That's what it tells us. As in the days of Noah, so will it be. So we know that he lived in that time, and then just before the flood, which is really, really synonymous with a tribulation, with a time of judgment and destruction, and we have New Testament passages even telling us that before that time he was mysteriously taken off the earth, and basically it was found this way. They went to his house. Where's Enoch? Oh, he's not here. Oh, they went to his, I don't know where he worked, but they went to his work. He's not there. Well, sometimes he likes to go over to this place and let's go look. He's not there. And they're going, where is he? Did you know when the church is taken off the earth, it'll be a mystery. It'll be a mystery. One of the differences in the rapture of the church and second coming, the rapture of the church, the saints see the Lord and they're secretly removed. But when the Lord comes back, as actually Enoch was a preacher of, the second coming, as the Lord comes back, it says all eyes will behold him. They'll see him. And so this man that had this miraculous experience of, you know, he lived 365 years and the Lord said, that's enough, took him to heaven. We go, okay, he's a great picture of these prophetic and end times events, and I've taught that, I've preached that, but this morning I really want us to understand, okay, what can we take away? Because somehow Enoch made it into the hall of faith, the hall of faith. Hebrews 11, there's a lot of characters in the scripture. There's millions, billions of people who have lived over the years. There's just a handful in the hall of faith. Enoch's one of them, and yet we don't have all this information telling us why. So from what we have to go on here this morning, I want to tell you this. I know this. Enoch was obviously a person of faith. He's obviously a man of faith. I want to look at verse 6 particularly. I'm going to call this the breakdown of the verse. I'm going to refer to that a few times today, the breakdown of the verse. Let's break down, because you have the story of Enoch told in verse 5. Essentially, the story is he pleased God, and so then God took him. There's the story. You know, you tell that one to your kids at night, they're going to be disappointed because it's not long enough. There's no highs and lows, you know, it's just, yeah, Enoch, man, pleased God, God took him. All right, let's pray and go to bed, kids, right? There's the story. But verse 6 is a verse that describes the necessity of faith in our life to please God, and it's using Enoch as a picture, as an example. And so let's understand verse 6. We're going to break it down. Apparently, he walked by faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God, and he pleased God. He walked by faith. In fact, Genesis tells us about his walk, it tells us two times in there that he walked with God. We'll talk about that in just a second. So he walked by faith. His walk of faith resulted in him pleasing God. Do you want to please God? I mean, if you're a believer, if he saved you by the grace of God, you should want to please him. Well, if you want to please God, let's follow Enoch's example and walk by faith. So the breakdown is he walked by faith, therefore he pleased God because of his faith. And then it gives us a couple of sentences or a couple of statements regarding what kind of faith he exercised. Notice this, it says that for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. But you've got to believe in God and who he is. And by the way, that's where salvation begins, is believing in God and who he is. We understand we're saved by repentance and faith. Faith being, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, the salvation that he brought through his cross and resurrection, and then we repent of our sins, coming to Christ, saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins, and that is how we're saved. That's the starting point. But after that we are saved, though, we still have to exercise faith, meaning we have to believe in God for who he is. And let me say this, if we believe what the Bible says about God, if we believe in God and who he is, it changes our behavior. It changes our walk. And then it says this, and he believed that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay, so Enoch walked with God, and he walked with God by faith. That faith pleased God, and that faith is described as believing in who God is and believing that God, I'm going to call him the ultimate rewarder. So let's talk about the walk of Enoch first. I'll read to you out of Genesis 5. You're welcome to turn there, read to you a few verses about Enoch here. It says this, and Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch, and Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Jared were 962 years. That's an old guy. And he died, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. So Enoch, it's interesting, he lived between the two oldest men in the Bible. His dad was the second oldest man. His son was the oldest man that ever lived. And if you do the math, Methuselah died in the flood. So it could be that he might have made it a little bit longer. Well, anyway, he lived in this period of time. And here's the commentary out of Genesis. And Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. He had such a walk with God. It's mentioned twice in the passage there. And he had such a walk with God that that God decided, and God has his reasons. I'll just tell you, I don't know all the reasons why he decided to take Enoch. Maybe it is because he wanted us to have that picture of rapture and understand what rapture is, and that God has the ability to do that, right? Some say that you can't, you know, there's no way. Well, we have example of him doing that. I don't know. There may be other reasons in play, but here's what I know. God was pleased with his life because he walked with him, and God decided, I want you up here in heaven with me, and he took him. A few things about walking with God, I think that we could just mention for real quickly that we would understand together. If we're going to walk with God, certain things have to be happening in our life. I want you, first of all, to know that Enoch walked with God in a very difficult time of human history. If you go read Genesis 6, you read of a time period just before the flood, and you read of a time period where it says the imaginations of man, so the thoughts and of man's heart, it says this, were only evil continually. Other than Noah and his small family there, the rest of the earth was described as having the imagination and the thoughts of the heart that were only evil continually. I'm telling you, we live in a sin-sick and wicked world, and I'm grateful that the Spirit of God is here and there's saved people here on earth because because of God's Spirit and his righteousness imputed to his people, there's some good on earth. It's not in us. But it's around. I mean, this morning in here, I hope that we could describe it that the imaginations of our hearts are not only evil continually. You see, that was a really tough time to live. Enoch's living in a horrible, wicked time. And yet, he had a closeness to God. He walked with him. If you're going to walk with God, guess what? You have to be close to God. You have to nurture a relationship with God. That in that relationship, there has to be communication. You have to talk to God. You have to hear from God. You have to love God, and you have to have a fear of God. You have to follow in his footsteps. You know, we sing that song. I can't remember what it's called. Maybe, give me a second. Oh, it's called In the Garden. And he, I don't want to sing. You know, I'll run half of you out here. And he walks with me, right? And he talks with me. Let me ask you a question. Does he walk with you or do you walk with him? Who's following who? I guess is what I'm trying to say. You see, I know what we're saying when we say that. We can still sing the song, Brother Wayne. It's okay. We can still sing the song and we can still sing. It's true. God walks. He goes where we go if we're believers. I know that. But do you understand? He goes where we go as we follow him. We're not saying, God, I got an idea. Follow me. No, no, no. We are supposed to follow him. If we're walking with him, that means we're following him. Well, if I'm following him, I've got to be close to him. I've got to see where he's putting his footsteps down, which means I'm going to have to be in the Bible. I'm going to have to be in prayer. I'm going to have to be in church. All these different things, I think, are reasonable to say. If Enoch is walking with God, he nurtured a close relationship with God, and God was important to him. God was primary to him. God was everything to him. I would say this, it's also reasonable to assume that Enoch didn't associate himself with the wicked things in his day. If he's walking with God, then there would be a separation that naturally happens. God's not going to walk in the filth of the world. Well, Jesus walked in the world. Now, I'm talking about, that's not where God's going to fellowship and commune in his presence. He doesn't tolerate that. So if we're going to walk with God, well, there's going to be a separation. There's going to be, the scripture calls it over and over and over in the New Testament, a sanctification, a set apartness. We're going to have to come and be different than the world. So I just trying to learn what a walk with God is. I can't walk with the world and with the Lord at the same time. I can walk with the world or I can walk with the Lord. I can't do both at the same time. So if Enoch walked with God in such a way that pleased God, so much so that God said, come on up to heaven, I'm just telling you, then there was some separation between that evil in the world. There's a lot of Christians today who try to live in both. They want to walk in the world and enjoy the things of the world. They also want to walk with God. You can't do both. I would say we could assume that Enoch obeyed God's rules and his laws and his commandments. That when the Lord said something, it meant something to Enoch. And he made decisions in his life. I'm going to follow God. See, that's all. Again, the scriptures don't tell us what Enoch did, but it told us he walked with God. And I'm just saying these are reasonable things to assume that Enoch was doing if he was walking with the Lord. Enoch's message is incredible. We don't know a lot. Enoch is mentioned three times in the Bible. It's right here in Hebrews 11. It's in Genesis 6. And then it's in the little bitty book of Jude. Turn your Bibles almost to the end. If you get to Revelation, just go to the one page before Revelation. You'll be in the book of Jude. And I'm going to go there as well. Actually, I have it written down here, so I'll let you turn. Enoch was a preacher. I mean, when we read, I just want you to know, when we read those genealogies and names, we see the name, but we don't see the story. So there's more to Enoch than we know. And so Enoch was a preacher. Jude tells us this, and listen, this only comes through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You say, where did Jude get this information? Well, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how he got it. So Jude tells us in Jude 1 and verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, which, let me just pause, the these that he's talking about are all the ungodly that have rejected Christ. And you can go back and read verse 2, verse 4, verse 5, verse 8, verse 11. The same group of people Jude is continuing to mention, the ungodly, those that chose to not accept Christ, those that are worldly, etc. So Enoch, he's saying Enoch prophesied of these ungodly, saying. And listen to Enoch's message. Can I remind you? Seventh from Adam. This is his message. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Jesus hadn't even come to the cross yet. And he's preaching the Lord's coming back. He's preaching the Lord's coming back before the Lord came the first time. It'd be one thing to preach the second coming today, and we do, but to preach the second coming before the first coming takes some faith. The Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to convince all that are ungodly, sorry, to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. And he was a hard preacher. He could probably preach the Man Up conference. I mean, his message, it's synonymous with what we read in 2 Thessalonians, where Paul tells us of the Lord's return coming and in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Or the scripture in Revelation where John sees a heaven open and behold a white horse, and him that sat on him was faithful and true. And the Lord then returns with a sword proceeding out of his mouth that he should smite the nations. And behind him all the armies which followed him on white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's the message of Enoch. The second coming of the Lord. He's saying, hey, you boys better straighten up. He's preaching to the people on his, there's millions of people. He's preaching. The Lord's going to come. He's going to execute vengeance on this. On the ungodly, those that have walked away. So you may be wondering, well, okay, how does faith come into play? I want to remind you of a couple things. First of all, he walked with God by faith. He pleased God because of his faith. His faith was characterized by believing in God and who he is, and believing that God is the ultimate rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He did all of this, seventh from Adam, in a pre-flood world. And he looked around at the world around him, everyone else going the wrong way, and he chose his path based upon what he believed about God. And he preached a message. He preached a message of Jesus coming back because he believed something about the Savior. And this is where it's like, you got a little mini mind explosion. This is before one word of Scripture was penned. Enoch had no Bible. There was no Moses hadn't written. We're reading out of Genesis. That's the Pentateuch. Moses wrote that much later. There's no Scripture. There's no New Testament. Where is he getting his information? I can only assume it either came directly from God, as God did deal with man in those days at times. We have many examples of that in Genesis. God coming directly to Abraham, right? God going directly to Moses. We have God going directly to Adam and Eve. So it could be that God, and it seems as if his message is, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, it seems as if he had had some special time with God. It could also be that seven generations, they're passing down the information that they have. But what I'm telling you is he wasn't carrying a King James Bible like I carry. It wasn't penned yet. And yet he believed. And we sit here, like a little over 6,000 years, or actually with Enoch, we'd be a little under 6,000 years later, and we have the whole Bible. We have like all the revelation of God that God's going to give man. We have it. He told us that there's no more coming. The Scriptures are complete. He's given it to us as a gift. Here's my word. And we now have his word. I'm telling you this, Enoch did all of those things without a scrap of Scripture. It makes you wonder, how important is the Bible to you? How scarce? I mean, how most people for most generations didn't have a whole Bible. I mean, there's times where maybe they had a piece or something like that. We have the whole thing. And yet, how is our walk, and how is our faith, and is it a walk of faith? And let me ask you this, according to the verse that we broke down, and we're going to kind of continue to go back to, what I believe affects my walk. And we have it. Why was Enoch described as someone who walked by faith that pleased God? Because he believed. He believed in what he knew about God. There's two things, right? He believed in who God was. He believed in who God was. I already said it, but we get saved when we understand that Jesus is God in the flesh who died for the sins of mankind. We have to know about who he is. And then we understand, of course, what he did in the gospel. But how we believe about God, it affects how we walk. this morning in Sunday school, I attempted to lay out how the world pictures Jesus. And they picture Jesus as soft and weak and meek. He is meek. They picture him as tolerant of sin. The world would say this, God, man, he's holy, he's righteous, he's judgmental, but Jesus, he's more easygoing. Did you know what you believe about Jesus affects then how you're going to walk? So it says that in verse 6, that faith that pleases God, he must be a believer in who he is. Can I tell you this? Everything the Father is, the Son is. Jesus is holy and righteous. And I said to our Sunday school class, Jesus never, ever, ever has ever tolerated one sin. He died for all of them, but he doesn't tolerate them. No, sin has to be paid for. Sin has a price. Jesus doesn't overlook sin. You say, well, he ate with Zacchaeus. He ate with publicans and sinners. Yes, he did, and they walked away different. And so what we believe about God, it matters. If I believe that God is omniscient, that means he knows everything. The Bible tells me that God's omniscient. If I believe he's omniscient, he knows everything. Did you know it helps me as a believer to know, hey, when I don't know, he knows. But it only helps me as I believe it. If I don't believe it, doesn't matter if it says it, and I don't. If I read it and I don't believe it, it doesn't help me. If I believe he's omnipresent, that means he's everywhere. It might make me a little more careful in my walk. We leave this place, it's just, okay, you aren't looking at me, but he still is. See, if I believe some stuff about God that the Bible tells me, then it affects my walk. The other thing is, Enoch apparently believed that he was the ultimate rewarder. Now, as a kid, I watched WWF wrestling. I know it was a sin. I was a child, okay? My favorite wrestler was the Ultimate Warrior. And I'm trying real hard not to say Ultimate Warrior when I'm trying to say Ultimate Rewarder. So just so you know, if that comes out, that's what it is, okay? That was all just my mind and my mouth not knowing when to quit talking. That's all that was right there. But I'm struggling a bit because he's the Ultimate Rewarder. I guess he is the Ultimate Warrior, but... Y'all need to be thankful that only like 8% of what is in here comes out here. You just, if you ever just need something to praise the Lord for, that's one thing, okay? But this is, if I could give you anything this morning, first of all, you've got to believe in who God is. If you know who he is, that's why we want to know more and more about him. As our knowledge increases and our faith in him increases, then our life changes. Some Christians that don't live the Christian walk and don't follow Christ properly, it's because they don't have a good view of who Jesus really is. They brought him down to think, okay, see, he's hanging out with me. He's cool with this stuff. He's not. No, this morning we read a story. He went into the temple. He started overthrowing tables. I think if he came into the life of most believers, he'd start overthrowing some tables. He's not cool with our sin. He doesn't tolerate it. So what we believe about him matters. But this is the other thing. Notice in Hebrews 11, verse 6, must be a rewarder, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Where do you think the best rewards come from? And listen, we all do things for a reward. I mean, we do things for a reward. I know it sounds covetousness or whatever, covetous or something like that, but you go to work every week for a reward. Oh, I love my job. You wouldn't do it for free. Oh, I would too. After about 3 days, you'd be like, I'm out, you know. I promise. Because why would you? Why would you go do stuff for free like that? No. You do it because there's a paycheck involved. We do things for rewards. But Enoch looked around at the world's reward system. And he said, these aren't the good rewards. No, I believe God is the rewarder, the chief rewarder, the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And Enoch apparently chose eternal reward over earthly reward. Did you know if it takes faith to believe in eternal reward? I know, some of you going, it takes faith if you're going to serve the Lord, you have to give up other things. It's just the facts, right? If I'm going to serve the Lord here on earth, I have to give up other things, which means at times I'm giving up some reward that I could have here. Does that make sense? But if I want to follow the Lord, I'm going, okay, well, I can give that up because I know I'll have heavenly reward. But it takes faith. It's like, I can't see it. You know, we go to our bank account. We can see how much is there. Sometimes it's very depressing. Right? But we can go, yeah, okay, I know what I got. But I can't get online and look at my heavenly bank account. I can't see the rewards. Now, Jesus told me, man, a cup of water, I don't let a cup of water go to waste. You give a cup of water in my name, I see that, and you will have your reward. In another place, he says that if we'll give up houses and lands and all these things, he says, I'll reward 100-fold, which means whatever you gave up, it's times 100 there. I don't know what that looks like. I can't log in and see the balance, but I'm telling you, he tells us that it will be there. The question is, do I believe it? And Christians today are choosing between the world's offerings and heavenly reward. And why some won't give any time or effort or even finances for the Lord is because they don't have faith that there's real reward there. Because we would have to give up things here. Years ago, our church that we were part of, is before I was pastoring, the pastor there, he had linked up with some people that right after the 9/11 attacks, they started going up to New York City. And I mean, it was a great time to get into people's hearts because everyone, you know, was more open. It just seemed like after that happened. And so we would go we'd go in the subways, we'd hand out tracts, and you know, in New York, if you just go anywhere, there's people everywhere. But we would set up in the subway, and we wore these goofy little like, I don't know what those things are called, but they're, you know, it's like you just get over yourself right away. Put this on, you know, and no, you're no longer cool, and now you're going to hand out gospel tracts, pray with people, and it's amazing how many people would stop and they just say, "Can you pray with me?" And you pray with them, and sometimes you get to share the gospel. Well, you always shared it with them. Sometimes you get to lead them to the Lord or give them a track or something like that. Well, we were there, and we were doing that. We had been there a couple of days. I don't remember how long each trip went, but we were there a couple of days. And a girl that, she grew up in our youth department, and I don't know how old she was, but when I was youth pastoring, she was one of the girls in there. And so she was there with us. And I remember I posted her up over here close to the where they're going through all the turnstiles. And I was a little further back, and the subway kind of narrowed, and so there'd be a lot of people in a small area, and I'd kind of stand there. And I was watching her, but I was close enough where I could hear her. And as she's, you know, giving out, you know, because you get some look, you want to get some looks, just go where people are with a thing that says prayer changes things and just start handing out track. You'll get some looks. This one lady came through the turnstiles. She looked, and I wonder, these people go to work every day. They like take the L train every morning, and they take whatever. They take the same. So it's possible she had passed by us a time or two and kind of figured out what we're doing. She came up to this, I'll leave her name out, but she came up to this young lady, and she said to her, "You are wasting," I heard it, "you are wasting your life. You need to go to college and get a degree and then go get a job because that's all there is." And then she walked off. That did you go, man, that's shocking. That's the world. They don't believe that there's a heavenly reward. They don't believe that it's worthwhile to come to church and to witness, to go out and to give your life. And I mean, boy, they think we're real crazy. We're having a revival next week. We're going to ask to be here Sunday morning for Sunday school. I talked to Pastor Denson. He's like, "Hey, do you want me to take Sunday?" Yep. Take Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. Your neighbors will think you're nuts. You're going to waste your whole week up there at the church? Oh, I am. Well, don't you know you could be out here doing this or that? And there's a lot of stuff I could be doing. But the Bible tells me, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. A couple of verses later, it says, this world passeth away in the lust thereof. The rewards we gather up here, folks, they all burn. None of them, they won't amount to anything. You can't take it with. There's no U-Hauls. Right? At the funeral, as they say. And so we have to make our choice. What is worth it to us? And it does take faith to believe God when he says, if you'll give up these worldly things and give yourself to me, I'll reward you. I just imagine there's a lot of people in Enoch's day enjoying the rewards of the world. The minute that flood water started coming, a few years before that, they look around, where's Enoch? I don't know. You know where he was? He was enjoying his heavenly reward. That's where he was. And the Bible says the floodwaters came and took them all away. And where was the reward? This world will pass away, and so many of us, even as believers, man, there's things that we enjoy here. Right? I enjoy a lot of things. God put me in a dangerous place, knowing me. Because I could disappear in the mountains. I could just literally disappear. You'd never see me again. You'd be like, where's he? I don't know. Maybe he got raptured like Enoch. No. Just sitting by a campfire. Because I love it. I love fishing. I love hunting. I love spending time with my family. I love so much that God's given us to enjoy here. I love it all. But the minute I put that before what God wants me to do, I've traded a worldly reward for an earthly. And I'm just telling you, Enoch didn't think it was worth it. The Bible tells us it's not worth it. How do we please God? We exercise faith. What kind of faith? Well, the kind of faith that we believe who God is and we believe that his reward is better. And so we are willing to give up what we need to give up to please him. As far as I can tell, that's the faith of Enoch. He walked with God and was not, for God took him. Lord, we thank you for your word and for this man we can read some about.